Before we begin this episode, we acknowledge that the First Nations people of Australia are and always will be the traditional custodians. We pay respect to all those who have come before us and lead us now, and acknowledge that together we must learn from the past to continue to move forward and reconcile.
This is Tegan.
And this is Kate.
And welcome to
Hard Rock Crochet.
Each month, we invite a creator from the crafting community to join us and talk about their business, their passions, and answer our stupid questions. So this month, we wanted to know, out of all three cats that Mel from Three Cats Yarn owns, which one is her favourite?
Oh, so how did all your markets go? I know when we first reached out to you, you were having like a series of markets and
getting I managed to get through three of them. Oh, I'm going to turn my computer's notifications off really quickly. I'm sorry.
All good.
So I did three different markets. I was signed up to do four, but I actually got really sick. So I ended up having to, I'm sorry, guys.
Don't stress.
I just can't remember how to turn off notifications in Apple. It's been like, and of course, my partner is now messaging me from literally the other room repeatedly.
I love doing that to my husband. Can you get me a drink?
We actually have a system where, like, if one of us has a cat on our laps, then the other one is kind of like
free to roam
for like all of eternity.
I love that.
It's great in theory. Cool. Yeah, so I did the three markets and then I got really sick and ended up having to cancel the one in South Australia because I really wasn't up to traveling. And then my Airbnb cancelled on me, and because it was a long weekend, all of the prices had gone up by like double. And Airbnb have like this 30-day, if your host cancels within 30 days, they're supposed to help you to get a new booking at the same price. And they did not.
Rude.
They just messaged me and said, we've cancelled the booking and refunded the money. And I was like, okay, but what about the booking guarantee? And They're like, oh no, we've cancelled it. And I was like, yeah, but
you still have to honour that.
Yeah. And they just took their sweet time to get back to me and made it really painful. And like after 2 weeks and getting like basically nothing out of them, I was like, I'm too sick to deal with this. There's not enough, like, you know, it was like getting to be a week before I was supposed to be traveling and like I wasn't getting any resolution from them, and I just decided it was not
worth the stress.
Universe was telling me that I was not going to South Australia for a craft market, so
such is life. What a pain in the ass.
Yes, I have learnt for future reference that I will probably just book a actual motel, because I think they're just a bit more reliable.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think they're going to cancel on you within 30 days unless the place burns down.
Exactly.
There's always pros and cons to Airbnb and stays and all of that. Like you kind of like the cheaper fares versus the flexibility of things. Oh, and here's little Fox. Is great, but then yeah, you can, you know, get those kind of cancellations. Are you going to cooperate, Missy?
I am booked in Airbnb for the first time, so I've never tried it before, for the Bendigo show. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully they don't cancel me. Excuse me, my God.
Oh, that's lovely cats.
I'm waiting for your cats to pop up, Mel.
They're locked out because Lily is being so painful at the moment.
So what are all the cats' names?
So Lily is the kitten, so yeah. She's about 6 months old. And then we've got Finn, who's the big, fluffy Russian blue. And we've got Olive, who is the tortoise shell.
Beautiful.
How did you come, like, how'd you name them? Was it, did you always know what their names were going to be, or did it just sort of come about?
Well, I didn't name two of them because they're my partner's cats, and so he already had them when we got together. And then when we got the newest one, we kind of just, when, like, it was, so we were waiting for ages to hear from a breeder about whether or not they had a cat available, and then also we were, there aren't any breeders in New South Wales, so we were waiting for one to come from Queensland, and then so it was very like, you won't know anything until like 2 days before we book a flight for a kitten, because we're not going to assign a kitten to you until we have a flight. And so I literally got a text message on the Monday saying, we have a kitten for you, and a flight to Sydney.
What breed was it?
Abyssinian.
Oh, yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we hadn't, like, I hadn't considered names or anything. And then when she arrived, we took like 2 weeks to decide on her name. So I don't even, it wasn't really a process. It was just like, what does she look like? What sounds does she like? And
how did you, like that would give me so much anxiety. So I have two beagles, and I had to like go and make sure, like, let, you know, let the animal choose me kind of thing. If I got told, oh no, this is the one we're going to send you, I'd be freaking out going, what if they're not a good match? Were you like, did any of that cross your mind?
A little bit, yeah. Because we've had, like, I personally had growing up always had Siamese, and we ended up with a Siamese cat that was like very much, she did not like to be touched or handled or anything, like, and that was jarring for me because I was like always like someone who wanted the cats to be on my lap and cuddling with me all of the time. So I was a little bit worried, but when the cat breed is like so rare that just getting a kitten can take 12 months, you just kind of have to hope for the best. We're really lucky. We ended up with she's a very personable kitten, if not extremely naughty. But we're hoping that's just a phase.
They may or may not grow out of it.
Yeah, exactly. She's going through a biting phase at the moment, which is just intense.
Love bites. Love bites are the best, though. They're so cute.
And so was Three Cats Yarn born after the Three Cats? Or like how did the name and all of the business sort of come about?
Yeah, well, so I actually just, my initial name was Down Under Dire. And if you say that quickly, no one ever understands what you're saying. But what happened was, like, I'd been dyeing yarn through the pandemic for myself because I couldn't get my hands on the yarns that I wanted from overseas because everything was selling out so quickly. Yeah. And shipping was just, like, I remember looking at ordering from Hedgehog Fibers and they were charging £100 just for shipping.
Oh my lord, that's bad.
I want the speckles. I really want the speckles. Mm. And so then I was like looking for mustard yarn and I couldn't find any. And I kind of decided, how hard could it be to dye it myself? Harder than I anticipated, definitely. But you know, I had quite a few months to kind of play around with it while we were in lockdown. I decided at the end of 2020, like, I had so much yarn that I had dyed that I just wanted to put it in an Etsy store. And so I very quickly came up with the name Down Under Dire. And then in 2021, I was considering rebranding to something a bit more meaningful.
I love Down Under Dire. I love that. But I can kind of get that it doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue. I had almost every single person that I introduced myself to was like, what? and so I was like thinking I should probably change it. And then we had three cats and my cat actually got diagnosed with cancer. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to change it. Because I knew I wanted to change it to something cat related, but I wasn't sure what. And then I held off, and then when we got the new kitten I was like, okay, it's time, I'm going to change it now. So it's a long process. Probably a little bit longer than I would have liked, but you know.
Love your logo though, because you've got the three cats on there.
Mm. Yeah.
And they all represent each one. It's actually exactly. really damn cute.
Yeah, when I was designing the logo, I really wanted to like make it the three of our cats. So yeah.
Nice.
They look very snuggle, you know, snuggly and cuddly in that little logo.
Yeah, cute. They usually only get that close to each other when they're involved.
I do that with my two. I put them in the laundry at night because if I let them roam the house, they come to the door. So they've got the laundry. It's massive. And then I'll open the door in the morning and they'll be snuggled up together on the bed. I'm like, I see you two. I know you don't like it, but I see you two. There's two beds in here. You're both on one.
Yeah, Lily wants to snuggle up with both of the other two, mm-hmm. but the other two don't
no, thank
want
you.
That.
No, thank you.
So how do they go with your, you know, with your yarn? I mean, stereotypically, cats and yarn, they don't normally, well, they're kind of like magnets, aren't they?
Yeah, so it's funny. So Finn, the Russian Blue, is not really interested in yarn, but what he does love is a project bag.
Me too.
And especially he has a particular obsession with Mavis Castlemaine project bags. So I don't know if it's like because he can tell that they come from another cat lover. But so if he sees me knitting with a project bag, he will come over and dig everything out of the project bag and try and get into it.
Oh, really. This is my hidey hole now.
It's so funny. And because he's quite a big cat, usually he doesn't fit into it, but he'll fit whatever body parts he can into it and then just sit on my lap half in the project bag.
Cats are the strangest things, hey? They just, the things they love. Oh, my cat loves hiding in cupboards. With now that we have this new house, we have all these massive cupboards everywhere, and she's never been able to get into doors before, and now she, like, I don't know how she gets in them, like they're like completely shut, and she all she's of a sudden broken. Like, oh well, you haven't seen you for 8 hours because you've been stuck in a cupboard. Okay, fair enough.
That's definitely a problem in our house too. What is that banging noise? Oh, the cat's stuck in the wardrobe again. When did the cat go into the wardrobe?
Who knows? Bedtime, where's Fitz? Oh, he's in our bedroom where he's not supposed to be.
But Lily is actually the biggest yarn thief. She is obsessed with it. So that is like slightly problematic sometimes. Yeah, she'll steal the yarn that is attached to my knitting and walk away with it. And I had friends around on knitting in public day, and I'd gone to the kitchen to get someone a drink, and she picked up my knitting, the yarn attached to my knitting project, and dragged my whole knitting project across the house.
Oh no.
Everyone's letting her do it. It's fine. Yeah, not ideal.
Did she actually destroy your work, or was it more like the you know, the cake or yarn?
No, it just got dusty and yeah.
Whew.
The other problem with having three cats is there's a lot of cat fur in the house all of the time. It does not matter how often you vacuum.
It's a daily chore.
Daily covered in cat fur. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, it was fine. But she does with the some yarns like Jamison and Smith that are easy to like pull apart, she will actually pull the ball off the knitting and I'll have like more ends to join in.
Oh no.
Annoying.
I once got given a t-shirt. So my husband's grandpa went to Europe, and while he was over there, he like traveled around and went to Germany, and he comes back and he had everyone a present, and he gave me a t-shirt, and I'm like, what's the t-shirt? Anyway, it was all written in German, a little note at the bottom in, because he got him to translate it, and it says, I am not truly dressed to go out unless I have cat fur on me.
Oh, and I'm like, good.
Okay, no, I appreciate that. Thank you.
That is a good t-shirt.
Yes. But I think it speaks for all cat lovers out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So tell us more about Three Cats Yarn. Like, mm-hmm. what tell us, for those of you, or for our listeners who haven't heard or haven't come across your work before, give us the rundown.
So I'm an indie dyer based in Sydney, Australia. My studio is in Waterloo. And I hand dye on a variety of different protein fibers. So that's like your wools, your silks, not cottons and linens.
Mm-hmm.
I often say that I dye a lot of muted colors. I don't tend to wear lots of bright colors, and I'm wearing a dress that's like literally colored. I do actually wear a lot of bright colors, but I don't like solid bright colors. So mm-hmm. when I'm knitting things, I was always struggling to find the kind of colors of yarn that I would want to wear.
Yeah.
And I actually knit a lot for my partner as well. He's very knit worthy. He's very appreciative of a knit.
That's good.
And yeah, it's really good, but he also doesn't like really bright colors. He's got some very specific taste. And so I'd really try to dye colors that he and I would wear.
Mm.
But then sometimes I like to play with really bright colors as well. So most of my colors are pretty muted tones. And then every so often I do like a fluorescent or highlighter type color for a bit more fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm just like, I'm scrolling through all your colors at the moment. And I love graffiti. Oh, that looks so nice. But I was just about to say that there's lots of variegated and speckled yarns, not just solid or semi-solid colors that you've got.
Yeah, definitely. So that was one of the reasons that I started dyeing. Like I mentioned before, I was struggling to get the kind of speckled yarns from Hedgehog and other like Le Bien Ami as well during 2020, just because shipping was really slow and expensive and all of the stores were selling out really quickly. So I really like speckled yarns. I think that they give you a bit more interest instead of just having a solid knit. I also really like the tweedy bases, and I think yes. that can sometimes give you that tweedy effect without the tweed nubs, which some people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I think the tweed can sometimes bother people when they're knitting it as well. Like I've heard of people who actually like will pick the tweed out because
pull it out.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's a textural thing. So, you know, speckles is a really fun way to give you the appearance without the actual difference in feel.
Do you think people buy tweed and who do that don't realize that that's the yarn? Or do you think they I don't think I would do that.
I mean, I feel like sometimes people like the look of the yarn and maybe they're just pulling out like the bigger tweedy bobbles that are
to
bother their, you know.
If they stick out a bit too much. I've done that before when it's like really like stuck out forward and you're just like, no, you're ruining the look.
Yeah, and definitely for me, like I really like the look of it, but I have just a habit of like picking at it as I'm wearing it. So like. I'm such a big fidgeter. That's why I knit. But if I don't have my knitting, I might be like, oh, yeah, picking all of those bits out because I'm just, need to fidget about something. Fidget spinners did not exist when I was a child.
Who needs a fidget spinner when you can just pick out the tweed and the yarn?
Exactly.
It works.
I mean, knitting is my fidget spinner.
I agree.
Yes, definitely. Knitting is my fidget spinner. Yes.
Forget knitting is my therapy. Knitting is my fidget spinner.
Did you see that the hashtag or the post that went around, was it last week or the week before, about not using that hashtag, knitting is my therapy?
I didn't see the post, but I was listening to your episode a couple of days ago in the car, and I heard you talk about it and I was like, oh, okay.
That seems to be the one that everyone keeps getting divided on, is the knitting is my therapy. None of the other ones, like the other ones about, you know, yarnaholics and that kind of stuff, I get.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can get that's how that's triggering, but knitting is my therapy. That was the really sticking point for a lot of people.
I totally get it. It's a bit loaded. I don't know, for me, I do use knitting as part of my mindfulness practices. Yeah. Like, it's definitely something that I use to help manage my anxiety. Yeah. And so I'm like, it kind of is. But you know, I get that it doesn't replace an actual therapist. No. So
but I do definitely think knitting is my fidget spinner. It's a great replacement if we were to replace it.
Significantly less divisive, I'm sure. Mm.
Until the fidget spinners start speaking.
There'll be that one person out there that, you know, who'll be like, well, hang on, I'd take offense to that.
Mm.
But anyway.
That's true.
So would it be fair to say then that, like, your dyeing as well, not just your knitting, but the dyeing is very therapeutic for you, or, you know, that helps you with your anxiety and that kind of stuff?
Probably less so now that I'm actually running a business with it. But yeah, I mean, I really do enjoy I find the playing with colors and everything to be really enjoyable. I think so. Being surrounded in nice, squishy, soft yarn as well is definitely a bonus.
Always.
And you can always, you know, you can always have a massive stash of yarn, which, you know, maybe I need to change my my career path and go down that route so that my husband can stop, you know, annoying me about how big my yarn stash is. Like, oh, hang on, I'm selling it, you know, I can have as much as I want.
It's so funny, before 2020 I didn't actually have a stash. I was like, I'm going to start a project, so I'm going to go buy the yarn for the project and then knit. And then we went into lockdown and I had one ball of like Lincraft cozy yarn in my stash and nothing else.
Crisis.
Oh my lord. How did you get down to one?
Well, like I said, I literally only bought yarn I bought for projects but immediately before starting the project. So I went into lockdown with one knitting project, which was a pair of socks, finished the sock.
Oh yeah, you would have done that quick.
I need your mentality.
I don't, I'm not like that anymore. something happened in 2020 and my stash is huge now, and I like am literally running a yarn business, so I have like a second stash which is even bigger. And I have like 6 works in progress at the moment, so
that's better. Yep.
Things changed very rapidly.
Other than knitting, is it like another craft that you enjoy dabbling in?
I have. We joke with some of my work friends that we collect crafts as a craft. Like, our hobby is collecting other crafts.
Oh, I like that.
So I do a little bit of journaling and watercolor painting and embroidery. I learned to spin in the last couple of years, so nice. I can spin my own yarn. Those are the ones that keep me going. Oh, and I just actually picked up quilting as well.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's, yeah, so I'm so bad, I can't resist like picking up another craft. And as a kid, I did jewelry making, and I did I made those like macrame friendship bracelets. I remember
my grandmother
taught me how to do like quilling and embossing and cake decorating. Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I'm having an epiphany right now, because what you're saying is like exactly me. That's exactly like I collect crafts. Yeah. I'll be like scrolling through Pinterest and go, ooh, yeah, okay, I want to try acrylic pouring. Why? But then I'll do that for a while. Oh yeah, that's fun. And then I'll go do this. And I, same thing, grew up doing all sorts of things, baking, cooking, sewing, knitting, embroidery, cross stitch.
Yeah.
All sorts of things.
Yeah. I've added a weaving loom to my cart recently, so that's next on my list.
I actually also do have a weaving loom, but I discovered very quickly that I don't really enjoy weaving.
Oh no. Is it a little one or a big one? Because it's like
a little
so many
one.
Yeah, I was gonna get
my friend has like a really big rigid heddle loom, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite a small one for a rigid heddle loom. Like he can take it on the train. And I gave that a go and I really enjoyed it. But like the little handheld like mini looms, I don't.
Maybe I'll look into heddle.
But it's a lot more expensive.
Of course it is.
I know that it's always going to play second fiddle to knitting, so I'm not really willing to put the money into that investment.
Fair enough.
I would love to see someone take that loom, weaving loom on a train, though.
You can get them, they sit on your lap. There's like a 25 centimeter one and a 40 centimeter one, and they're like big enough to make like a scarf or like a thick kind of a shawl. Or if you made like a whole heap of them, you could join it together and make like a big blanket or something. But yeah, it's big enough for your thing, so on your lap, so you can work while you're watching the TV or something.
That's cool.
Yeah. So and the friend that I'm talking about lives in an apartment in Sydney. So like me, so you know, you've got to choose your hobbies wisely, I think. When I started spinning, I opted for an electric spinning wheel because I don't have space for a spinning wheel. Yeah.
So going back to our questions, I suppose. We do get off track sometimes. What's your most favorite fiber to work with?
Ooh. Gosh, it changes all the time, you know. There's not one overall favorite. I used to really only knit with cotton. Well, not only, but I would say like 90% of my knitting projects were cotton to start with. The first knitting project I ever made was a bit of a disaster.
Like a frog it?
No, I didn't frog it. I couldn't bring myself to frog it. But like I bought the wrong yarn. I had a like old 1980s knitting pattern from my mum that was designed for Patton's Bluebell, which is like it's a sport weight, so 5-ply crepey yarn. So it's really light. But when I was knitting this sweater, it was not in production, or maybe I just couldn't get my hands on it. I don't know. Anyway, I ended up with this quite thick woolly fiber that was, I don't think it was sport weight. I think the woman at the shop said, yes, that will be fine to substitute, but I don't think it was. And I didn't really know any better at the time.
We've all made that mistake when we first start off.
And so I just kept switching down my needle sizes until I got gauge, because I'm a really tight knitter, and ended up with this sweater that was so dense that it was completely unwearable in Sydney at any time of the year. You could have taken this thing to the snow and it would have like been probably as good as a ski jacket. It was that thick.
Do you still have it? And can you send us a photo?
I don't think so. I think I ended up donating it to charity because I was like, there probably is someone who might actually enjoy this in the cold. But I can't wear it. I probably still have photos on my Ravelry though, but yeah, it was so thick and dense.
I'm going to go stalk you right now.
We started a new segment called Frog Dip, and this is for projects exactly like that.
That didn't quite go to plan.
I really don't like frogging things. I did frog a top earlier this year as well that I had this suspicion the whole time I was knitting it that it was going to be way too big, and I finished it and I put it on and it was just massive. And as a rule, I don't like to wear, like I don't tend to make tops with much positive ease. Like 1 inch of positive ease is probably the max. If a pattern says this is intended to wear with like 5 or 6 inches of positive ease, I just ignore it.
Fair enough.
Because I never end up liking the results. And so this t-shirt, I put it on and it was just swimming on me, and I thought, no. And I ripped it all out there and then, and I have not picked it back up again.
I always think when I get that voice, when I start a project and the voice is going, you know, hang on, you know, if you keep doing this, it's not going to turn out right. And I always ignore it. And at the end, I'm like, I shouldn't have ignored that voice. Every time. So I get that. Need to listen to the, but you just get so excited doing the project and you're into it and
like I want it to be finished already. I'm not going to go back and redo it, and then you end up having to anyway, because
Or you give up and it goes into the stash and you pull it out 3 years later and you look at it going, what was I up to?
Well, but your skills have usually improved in that time, and you look at it and go, oh my God, what was I thinking?
There is actually, I have one project like that where I started knitting it in a size, and then I was like, no, I don't think that size is going to suit me. So like the back is completed in one size, and then the front part is completed in a different size.
Oh, that's awesome.
If it works, it works.
Well, unfortunately, I think now the front part will be too small because I've had some COVID spread. But the back part might, I don't know, maybe I should go back and revisit it. Not like I've been knitting this thing for, I think this was my second ever sweater and not successful, like, because it's still not finished.
So does that mean no more sweaters, or you reckon you give them another go?
No, I've had much more success lately. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yep. I think I now know a bit more about like the shapes and sizes and yarns. I kind of after having some failures with sweaters early on, I put them aside and knitted easier things for a while, but I've gone back to sweaters now.
And do you like using your own colors when you make garments for yourself, or do you tend to go and go, I'll use someone else's?
A bit of both. I do actually use a lot of my own, I use my yarn a lot. I was actually saying to someone earlier this year that I need to stop buying yarn because I haven't knit with anyone else's yarn.
Don't listen to them. Just keep buying yarn.
You're fine. It's perfectly good.
Yeah. And it's really funny. I did a question on my Instagram yesterday. I was asking what project to cast on next. I was trying to decide between three different sweaters, and one of the sweaters is in La Bien-Aimée yarn and the other two are in my yarn, and everyone voted for one of the ones in my yarn. So I was like, forced it again. I love other people's yarn. I buy it all the time, and I would like to knit with it, but then there's also part of me which is like, you should knit samples for the shop. Everything, and that everything is content mantra, where I'm like, if I'm knitting my own products, then it's like, you know, there's photos of my yarn, more photos of my yarn on the internet, on Ravelry, on Instagram, on Facebook. But I think it's good to use a variety of different materials. I don't dye cotton as well, so in summertime I tend to use other people's yarn a lot more because I don't.
Where do you get your inspiration for your colors?
A variety of different places. So sometimes it's literally I have a dress and I want to match like one of the colors on that so I can make something for myself. That's one way. And then other times my partner will be like, I would like a green beanie. And then I will discuss when he says green, what green he means, and dye that color. It's funny, greens I find are really hard. It's becoming quite popular at the moment, but maybe a year ago there weren't really many options for green, and it frustrated me immensely.
I saw your deep olive and I was like, it's hard to find a really nice olive color like that, and the way that you've dyed that is just like, it's perfect. So no, I totally agree, trying to find a nice green that isn't stupidly too light or forest green dark is
hard colored, like jadey teal color. I'm like, it's too bright.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Yeah.
So what makes it hard? Like, I don't know too much about dyeing. What do you think makes it hard to get that perfect green?
I guess just having to mix the colors to get like the right shade and not end up with brown.
Yeah, okay.
Everything will go brown eventually if you play with it too much, I feel like.
Yeah.
And also for more saturated colors, you need to use more dye and it can take longer to get it to set. And like it's harder to layer different colors together. So yeah, it's not, I guess it's just understanding how the dyes are absorbed by the fabric evenly and how to know when it's fully absorbed and that kind of stuff, as well as like just some basic color theory when it comes to mixing colors together.
Because what you would mix up in your dye cup would look different to when it's in the pan, yeah?
Yeah. and when it's on the wall, and different wall bases look different. Like,
and when it's dry, it changes differently. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when it's dry, it gets lighter.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a bit, it's definitely a, like, it gets easier with experience and practice. And I guess just knowing those, like, some of those things, like, it will get lighter when it's dry. Yeah, actually, like, dark colors aren't that, like, aren't as technically hard. I find light colors, like really pale pastels, to get them even and solid, that's probably one of the most challenging things as an indie dyer.
Mm. Yeah, wow.
Definitely.
Because, like, when you put the yarn in the pot, there's just, if you don't do it the right way, you can end up having all of the dye soak up into one one spot of the yarn,
which would make it darker in that particular spot of the yarn. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
There's just no color anywhere else, or negligible color anywhere else, which is
gosh, that sounds like a lot of pressure. But I suppose if you're doing it all the time, you kind of get used to it, and you know the tips and tricks and how to work the. Dark.
Yeah, there's definitely a bit of science to it, and so once you understand what's going on and why that happens, it's easier to prevent it from happening. But you know, I still have disasters in the dye studio all the time. I was trying to dye for a festival, and blues are obvious. Like, blues are one of the more popular colors. I don't know. It just that every time I dye blue yarn, it sells out. And so I was trying to dye one of my very specific colors, Kuji. And I think I dyed about 30 skeins of yarn all wrong.
Oh, no.
Like, three whole dye lots completely wrong. And I was just having the worst day in the dye studio. But I ended up coming up with a completely new colorway, which I really like.
That's good.
So not a disaster. Accidents. Happy accidents, yeah.
But it was such a stressful week.
Oh, I can just imagine you, that sinking feeling, looking at all of those skeins of yarn going, oh crap.
Yeah. I just want to dye Kuji. Why? And then I have like another purple color, which is I don't know. It's like I've got the recipe down. And like, I know what steps to take, but it always comes out a little bit different. And I've heard other dyers who will say the same thing. Like, they've just got colorways that, you know, they're great, but they're really hard to repeat. It just seems like, you know, the pH can be a little bit off in the water, or like the temperature can be a bit off, and it just doesn't, the water can be a bit harder or softer than usual, and it just doesn't work out the same. It's really like, it just seems like the color is really temperamental, and I definitely have a purple like that. And yes, that those colors are like a little bit stressful, so I don't always have them in stock because I'm like, I can't deal with this today.
Too much.
Got to be in the right mindset to get to dye those ones.
Yeah, I've got to be feeling really zen. Just accept it. If it comes out like completely wrong, then that is life.
So you don't just do yarn on your website, you also do knitting and crochet socials.
Yeah,
so tell us a bit about those. You've got one coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, I try and do them a couple of times a month. So it just depends on my schedule, because I work full time and am running a business, which involves me going to shows. Sometimes I can't run them every fortnight. And yeah, it's just a night where I open up the studio and get some wine and some cheese and some tea and some coffee and some bickies. And people can come in and we knit together and we talk about what we're knitting on. We have like a little bit of a show and tell if anyone has anything to show. And they can also like shop my studio at the same time.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they're super fun. It's like I have some regulars and then we'll have new people pop in as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
At the moment it's pretty, like at the moment my group size is pretty small. I think I'm just sort of trying to get comfortable after like 2 years of restricting numbers in spaces and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm lucky, I work in a creative space called The Nest in Sydney, and we actually have a lot of communal areas that aren't really used a lot in the evenings. So I am hoping to expand my groups a bit and make them a bit bigger in the future.
Sounds really awesome. I wish I was up there to come join you.
Yeah, no, I was like, why does that have to be in Sydney, man? That's a long way for me to travel. I don't think my husband would look after the kids for, it's like a 14-hour drive, I think, from Brisbane to...
There's nothing stopping you from just getting in the car and going, just saying.
True.
Leave a note on the fridge.
It's funny, I do have some friends in Western Australia and Queensland who have said, I wish I could come to your socials too. So I totally encourage people starting their own social groups. I like, before I started my own group, and I still go, there is another meetup group in Sydney that meets at a pub on every second Sunday. That's fun too, knitting in a pub, although the pub is very dark. So you have to choose your knitting wisely. I never take anything dark to knit in the pub.
Don't take black yarn.
Showed Tegan this reel that came up on my Instagram. I don't know if it's still there. Oh. It was literally, it's gone. It was every time I knit with black yarn and I've got like a ring light on their face and these glasses and they're looking down and they're crocheting or knitting.
We were actually talking about it in the group last week about getting one of those neck lights that point down at your work, just so that we could do the knitting in the pub.
That's come up in my Wish ads. Not that I go on Wish that often, but you know, have you guys ever get really like weird Wish ads on Facebook and things, like really weird stuff?
Mm-hmm. I think a more relevant question is, have you ever not gotten a weird Wish ad? Because
very true. But that came up in one of my ads. I was like, oh, I'd actually use that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wish, but I never ordered one.
Yeah, when I was at the Knitters Guild gathering last year, a bunch of people had them, and I was... At the time, I was like, I have no need for those. And since then, I've started knitting in the car because I let my partner drive a lot more than I used to. And at night, I can't knit in the car when he's driving because I can't see what I'm doing. So I'm like, I think I need to get one of those lights. And also the pub, obviously. Yes. And camping. Camping is fun as well. But I have like a head torch, but you end up having to stretch your neck down and it's not good. I ended up giving myself a wry neck.
Oh. But so you could get those glasses that Chloe has from Woolenworths where you put them on and it's got the mirror that goes down at an angle so you don't have to tilt your head down and just like that.
I think I need those, to be honest.
Ask her where she got it from. She probably got it from Wish.
My video would probably love it if I got some of those.
I'm sorry if you can hear Peppa Pig in the background, but this is what Little Fox is doing right now. Can you see all the chips that she's spilled on the carpet?
Oh my gosh, are they chips?
Day out.
Sick children.
Yeah.
Oh dear. I am also, another thing that came up I don't know if it was a Wish app, it was just one, another random ad, but it was a crochet hook that had a electric counter in it.
Electric counter? I thought you were going to say light.
No, no, no. Electric so you it had a button on it. So, and then you'd, so as you were, you can just press the button as you're chaining or counting or whatever. And I thought, man, I like that. I've got like a little, I did buy from Wish, a little counter that I stick, it's like a ring counter that I put on my thumb and it has a button on it. But I thought that was really cool to actually have it built into the hook. I'm like, oh, I wonder if that would work with a knitting needle. Probably not so much. But
well, Pony have these little ones that you slide onto your knitting needle and you turn.
Yes.
But I, because when you work on circulars, they don't really, you can't slide them onto your knitting needle, but I usually just throw one in my project bag, or I used to, and tell my partner, and we're going to go back to fidget spinners now, decided that it was.
Oh no!
No!
No, yeah. He's banned. Banned.
Oh no.
He didn't even like notice what he was doing. He just like picked it up and started playing around with it while I was on the phone to someone, because it was sitting on the coffee table with my knitting. And I got back from wherever I was and he's like, I am so sorry. I think it was on this number, but I'm really not sure.
He was actually horrified. I'm serious. That is the worst.
It's pretty bad. I was lucky I could read my knitting, so I didn't actually need it as much as I thought I needed it.
Oh, good. Thank goodness for that.
But yeah, it was pretty hilarious. He was, and the other, like my nephews, they're 2 and 4 years old. So like if I have something like that around them, they are going to feel, I don't know how you manage to like stop your kids from playing with it.
Oh, I don't. I don't.
Yeah,
she just goes, says to me now, oh, can I help mommy? I'm like, sure. And I just give her the yarn and I just get her to pull the yarn out.
Oh yeah, Jensen just pokes his head and goes, are you making? Yes. Okay. And then walks out. He doesn't care. Or he'll come in and go, you haven't made that beanie you promised me. I'm aware, mate. I'm aware.
That is true. My nephews actually do come to me with shopping lists now of things that they would like. So I have a drawn diagram of a sweater that my nephew would like.
Oh, that's really sweet.
He
coloured
it in for me. And he also ordered a pair of socks for me when he came to one of my shows on the Central Coast. And he was like, he picked out the yarn. He's like, I want socks out of this yarn. So how can you say no to that?
No, you
can't. I cannot say no to that.
Absolutely can't.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, every time I have something out, this one goes, what are you making for me?
Yeah, it's always for me.
I'm not making it for you. Why not, mommy? Can I have one? Every time.
Yeah.
It gets old when they ask every time. You can say no.
Luckily it takes me that long to actually, like, you know, he ordered the socks in March and he's going to get them next week for his birthday, so
yay.
And I don't know the sweater, I don't know
when I get to it.
Well, it's the design that he has drawn for me is so complicated that I'm fairly sure I'm going to have to, it's very Jackson Pollock-esque as well. I think I'm going to have to knit a white sweater and then dye it.
Oh my gosh. Hey, that would be a cool project.
That would be cool.
I think it would be fun.
Mm. You could do like a tie-dye effect with that.
Kind of, yeah. So I think that might actually be a fun experiment for the dye studio at some point. I just wish it had a knitting machine. Then I could knit the sweater on the machine and it would be quicker.
Mm.
Since it's not complicated.
I've looked at knitting machines, like buying them brand new, and they're thousands of dollars. Like the proper big ones.
Oh, the massive ones. Yeah.
Like, are we talking the flat knitting machines or the circular knitting machines?
No, I've got heaps of circular ones. No, I mean like the flat ones that you can, you know, make actual garments and things on.
I didn't realize they were actually still making any, because I was looking, I've been looking at some secondhand ones, but space is definitely an issue at the moment.
Mm. I think it was the Singer brand. There's only two brands that do it, and they don't make them in Australia from what I could find.
Oh, well, that will definitely help with the price. Yeah, I know, because I know one of my friends bought one of the circular sock machines from before.
The really
expensive ones from overseas.
Yeah, I think that's the Addy brand.
It's like they cost like $6,000 or something.
Oh my gosh, what is this thing for sock?
It's like a humongous metal, like really high-end, really reliable machine, but well, it requires a lot of servicing as well.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's not Addy. I don't know what brand that is.
Dyers use them.
I've seen, oh no, there's something else. No, it's okay.
Dude from Stranded Dyeworks has one.
Oh, yeah.
And Amy from La Bien-Aimé has like a custom yellow one. Of course.
There's one you can get that's a sock loom. Like it's an electric circular one to make socks on.
Yeah, so it is. It's a circular one to make socks on. It's not all electric, though. It's still hand cranked. Mm. Anyway. So one of my friends bought one of those, and I've realized after hearing from her about her journey with it that owning and servicing one is like so much work just in its own, on itself. Like you kind of need to be an expert in like maintaining your machine. So I'm quite happy to send my sock, my yarn off to be turned into sock tubes.
Yes.
And then shipped back to me now that there's someone doing it in Australia.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then I just put the heels and toes and cuffs on them and turn them into samples for my shop. So
do you do the cutting? What do you call it? You cut the yarn and then insert it? Is it that?
So what I do is I stick my needles into the sock,
mm-hmm.
and then I snip the yarn at like one stitch.
Yeah.
And then you can just unravel around and yeah, then you start knitting.
Ah, okay.
Some waste yarn or like some of the excess yarn in and start knitting and just do the cuffs. And then you can do the same for the heel and the toes.
Nice. So it's much quicker.
We're just taking a quick break here before we jump into our fast five questions to have a chat about this month's sponsors. So this month's sponsor is Knit or Dye Yarns. From the coastal shores of Queensland, Knit or Dye brings you environmentally conscious hand-dyed yarn inspired by the natural environments of Bribie Island. Helen's yarn is dyed in very small batches, giving the maker unique colours with lots of love woven in. Helen's background as a marine biologist makes her incredibly passionate about the environment and strives to decrease her environmental footprint with every order. So only using recycled or compostable packaging and ensuring all yarn comes from bulk cones, Helen is able to reduce the waste going back into the environment. And of course, all yarn is sourced as locally as possible from sheep-friendly farms. For our Patreon members in the month of July, if you buy two skeins of yarn, you will get the third half price. And this offer is only available on 100 gram skeins of yarn and excludes advents and mini sets. So make sure that you head on over to Patreon to be a part of that. And this podcast would not be possible without our HRC listeners' support. So we want to thank our newest patrons for joining our Patreon and helping us reach our goals. And to have your name shouted out, get access to discounts on yarns and or patterns and early access to episodes, head on over to Patreon and search for Hard Rock Crochet or www.patreon.com/hardrockcrochet, and who knows, you might get your name shouted out on the next episode.
With that, I reckon it's time to move on to our fast five questions, where I ask you five questions quickly and you answer them as quick as possible. Are you ready for this one?
Oh, let me have a sip of my coffee.
Okay. I think you'll like be right.
Yeah. Have you got a double shot? You might need the speed.
There are definitely two shots in there. Yeah. All right, go for it.
Okay, ready. So which of your three cats is your favorite?
That's not a fair question.
Yes, it is.
Look, I mean, Lily is my baby, but no, I it's like asking someone which child is their favorite.
I told you, Tegan.
Do you not have one?
I can't pick between my fur babies either.
Oh, I can. All right, we'll skip that one for now. Queensland or New South Wales?
Oh, New South Wales. It's my mum would be so sad if she heard me say that, but
Queensland's still in your heart. As long as it's above Victoria, you're good. Natural or bright colours?
Natural.
Merino or alpaca yarn?
Merino.
And do you need more yarn?
Always.
I don't think anyone's ever said no.
No, yeah. It's a silly question.
Hey, it goes in my shop. I actually do need it.
I like it.
Alrighty. Well, on that then, we do have one more question for you. So This is a little game that we play where sometimes we'll grab a stitch and try and, explain it to you, and then you tell us what stitch we're explaining. But because your specialty is dyeing yarn, we have grabbed one of your colorways from your shop, and I'm going to describe it to you and see if you can tell us the name of that yarn.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's really good at describing, though, so you should be able to get it.
What are you talking about? I'm the worst. We'll see. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, so it's a plain white base and it's a speckled yarn.
Okay.
You speckle it with pinks, greens, yellows, and blues.
Sophie's Garden.
Am I describing this correctly? Did I see
graffiti?
Graffiti, yeah. I want to see Sophie's Garden now.
it's more subtle blue because there's just some very subtle navy.
Oh,
blue
okay.
On it, so graffiti is a lot less. Yeah, they're very different, but they could both be described similarly.
Could be both. Yeah, fair enough. I'm trying to find it. Where is it? Oh yes. Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah. It was one of the first colors I dyed. I really want to make a sweater out of it, but I still haven't.
Wow.
Probably in really part because I don't trust myself with white.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah, I hear you.
I'm like, I should be less afraid. I can literally dye the yarn and make the sweater again if I need to. So
can I just point out in the vineyard as well, in the vineyard?
In the vineyard is very popular. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I think people are really into that purple green combo.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of my friends actually crocheted I did a special pack ages and ages ago where I did one skein of In the Vineyard and then like a speckled all purple and a speckled and variegated all green. And she grabbed those and crocheted the most amazing blanket. She got a whole lot of undyed yarn from Nundle and my crochet skills are not good, but it's like they're round, like the granny square. Well, it's a granny square, but the center is round, but then it's actually a square around it.
Yeah,
so I don't know like how
yeah. Oh, it's hard, believe me.
I know how to make a granny square, which is all square, and that is it. So, yeah, and it's absolutely gorgeous, if I do say so myself.
Nice. With your yarn, yes.
She's always offering to bring it to shows, like, so that she can show people how nice my yarn is.
That's so which sweet. Is sweet,
but I'm always terrified that it's going to go missing or, like, get dirty or damaged. So,
yeah. We'll have to get a photo of this blanket, I reckon, and pop it up on the socials.
Yeah.
I want to see it myself. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up all of our questions and all the main parts of this anyway. We've traveled off into different directions all today, but that's all right. It's all part of it.
I'm sorry. I'm so good at rambling.
No, not at all. This is what we love. That's what we love to do. Yes.
This is why when I was recording a podcast, I could never keep an episode under an hour.
Well, that's right. You've got the podcast on YouTube as well.
Yeah, I have, but I haven't recorded an episode in over a year now. So,
Yep.
Too many other things going on.
Understandably, you're dying up everything.
Yeah, and I've been going to a lot of shows and stuff. It's just, it's a lot.
So what's coming up? What's next for you? You've released an advent? Yeah.
Yeah, I did release my advent earlier in the year. I remember you guys were talking about that on an episode as well. And I wanted to clarify something. One of the reasons why I released it so early is because the mini skeins that you use often sell out around advent time. Uh-huh. And so I like to make sure I give myself, especially because I've got to order my minis from overseas. You have to leave yourself plenty of time.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So I've already ordered all my advent calendar yarn.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And it's in my studio waiting for me to dye it because I just didn't want to risk it. But yeah, they sold out, which is exciting.
Yay!
The theme is cottage core and greens and floral colors. So I'm very excited. I'm going to be collaborating with some cool people for some of their like little extra bits and bobs. And I'm also doing a collaboration with Colorways Collective.
Yay!
I gave a little bit of a sneak peek of the yarn colors last night on their Instagram feed. So that's really cool. Colorways Collective is run by a woman in Sydney, and she basically focuses on having a theme for each collection, and then she approaches a bunch of different Australian indie dyers to dye a color for that theme. They're really fun.
Oh, there's been some really nice collections.
Yeah, the last one that she had, there was some really good. I'm so sad I missed out on the color I really wanted. One of my friends brought it along to a knit night and I was like, oh, I really wanted to order that, but it's sold out now. So sad.
So keeping an eye out then for on the colorway collectives for your exclusive colorways.
Yes. So I think that will be happening. I think it's the end of July or maybe the beginning of August that it will be officially released. But yeah, if you keep an eye on their website or Instagram feed for more information. The other thing is like Fiberfest got cancelled again this year, so that's coming up later on in the year as well. Yeah, so that's all of the things I've got going on at the moment.
Very good. You're plenty very good. Going on, definitely.
Always. I like to oversubscribe myself.
Yeah. And we love that too, because we love the work that you produce.
Definitely, yes. Yes, like that but deep olive that I'm going to go order after this.
Nice.
Yeah. So where can people find you on socials and your website?
So I'm at 3CatsYarn on Instagram. I'm 3CatsYarn on Ravelry. My website is 3CatsYarn.com.au. So yes, everywhere, 3CatsYarn. And you can order the tickets to my socials on my website as well as my yarn. And if you sign up to the newsletter, I'll send you information about all of that stuff as well. My newsletter only comes out every 2 months, so it's not super spammy.
Yeah, for non-super spamminess.
I love that.
I start to feel bad. Like, I really like knitting newsletters, but when they come out every week, I find it's really hard to keep up with them. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And there's always cat updates in my newsletter. So you can just subscribe for the cute cats.
Yes.
My partner and half of my family are now subscribed just for the cat updates
section. That's a really easy way to keep your family updated.
They care nothing about the business, but the cats, they do care about.
Love that.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when you have kids, they advertise this little app that's called Tiny Beans, and then you get all your family to like subscribe to it. You've probably done it for your nephew maybe. And yeah, you do updates. It's like that.
We had Tiny Beans
Toe Beans.
Toe Bean app. It's probably already exists, you know.
If it's not, I think we need to start it.
If anyone is listening and wants to develop a new app, you have your idea.
Off you go.
But in the interim, yeah, my newsletter, cat updates.
I'm down for this.
I had so many requests for it. I can't ever drop the cat update now.
Well, thank you for chatting with us today, Mel. And it never goes to plan, but it's always awesome chats in the end anyway.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been really fun.
Absolutely. Anytime. You're welcome back anytime. Alrighty. Well, thanks again. And we shall chat soon.
Well, a huge thank you to Mel for joining us for a chat today. We now definitely believe that knitting or crochet is our fidget spinners. So thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, please click on the 5-star rating on Spotify to help us reach more listeners. And also join our Facebook group to continue on with the conversations that you listen to here. And as always, buy craft supplies and use them are two separate hobbies. Happy crafting. Bye.